it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He looked like he's going to be the best quarterback in the league. I mean, he's that good.
Dude, it was awesome.
Drake May is 100% taking the biggest leap and playing the best out of anybody that was drafted in the first round of last year's draft.
Yeah.
There's a lot of remnants in this game of Ben Roethlisberger and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Drake May will wear a red jacket. He will absolutely wear a red jacket.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
No, the Schefters believe in Drake May, for the record.
Yeah.
Drake May, head coach, left tackle, quarterback, renew your season tickets. It looks like they found the guy.
Thank you, guys. Go fast.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Yeah. Well done, boys. That was fun. At the risk of you guys making fun of me, I know it's coming anyway, I did just want to clarify that I was ahead of the curve. I put Drake May in the Patriots Hall of Fame last week. I didn't need to wait till Sunday Night Football. Genius walked alone for 7 days. And then all of a sudden, genius was followed by everybody.
Instead of the Homer honk horn, we need that clip from The Simpsons when Tom Brady drives by Homer Simpson on a segue and goes, "I'm the greatest ever. Everyone else sucks." That's exactly what we need for these genius walks alone takes.
I was 1 week ahead of, because the hype train is as out of control as I've ever seen it. We talked a little bit about
runaway
this
locomotive
last year. Last year here in New England, on the old version of the afternoon show, and welcome aboard on a Tuesday afternoon.
Previous iteration, some people refer to it.
Christian Arcan and I were like, is it weird that the national media loves Drake May more than the local Patriots fans and Patriots media? That happened during the season a year ago, even with him not winning and even with him turning the ball over and all the things that went into the Drake May rookie year experience.
Yeah.
And now again, I hear these things and it's almost like a game. You know how you have those group of friends that sit around with beers and someone's like, "Yeah, I went to this resort, blah, blah, blah." And then the other guy's like, "Oh, I went to a better resort." And then the next guy's like, No. I went to," and they have to one-up each other all the time.
My kid hit two doubles today. Oh, yeah. Excellent. My kid cleared the center field fence. Yeah. We're aboard the one-upmanship right now.
Yes. And it's gotten to the point where somehow, once again, the Nationals are way, way beyond the locals. The locals, I think, are taking a more measured, realistic approach. First of all, we started our affair with Drake May earlier. A lot of us started at week two. Week two, we were like, "Oh, Drake May looks like he can play." And then it went boom, boom, boom. Four-game stretch of good performances.
It was from the fourth down pass to Steph Diggs to the wheel route to Ramondre. That's where, season two, Drake May was lit.
It kept going, and there were the turnovers, but we pulled a Schrager and kind of ignored the turnovers against the Steelers and said he did march his team up and down the field all day long. Then we get this week, whereas the Nationals, we got football players. Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen is a tremendous football player who also happens to be a tremendous color analyst.
Fox's better one.
Correct. And he's out there showing you his O face on that throw to Diggs down the sideline and telling you that he's the greatest quarterback. And now I do wonder if there's a little Charlotte bias there because he is a Charlotte guy. My guess is he knows the entire May family. They probably share Christmas cards. So there's probably a little too close there. But he goes out there and says, "This guy looks like he might be the best quarterback in football."
He's definitely, I'm going to tell you what, he's definitely the greatest quarterback in Patriots history. Easy, Greg Olsen.
He should say that. He should say that as early and as often as he can.
That would be great.
And it is amazing that Drake May, a guy who after week one, some idiot asked if he truly was dedicated to winning in the National Football League.
No.
And a city full of idiots was saying there was too much on his plate. He's overwhelmed. He's thinking too much. 4 games later. A quarter season later, he is suddenly in contention for one of the best quarterbacks in football?
4 weeks later.
Exactly. Here we are, but here we are. Everybody loves them some Drake May.
It's like Drake Mania.
Have you seen a single, and I mean more national, not local, because there are still some Patriots fans. We get on the text line, we get in the calls that are a little bit like pump your brakes. It's a short span.
You guys are already putting them in Canton.
Right. But on a national level, even the late converts have converted to, yeah, I didn't really like Drake May coming out of UNC, but I'm all in now. You're Kirk Benkirk or whatever?
Yeah, Kurt Beneke, former Packers quarterback turned wannabe Orlovsky.
Has there been a national perspective? Because usually, you know, in this day and age, you got those like angry ex-scout 472.
Yeah, I still don't see it. I still think Spencer Rattler's better.
Usually on Twitter, there's one of those guys.
Who TF is that?
There's all those angry ex-scouts.
Okay.
Have you seen any of those? Because I haven't seen anyone even... You know who throws maybe the most shade at Drake May?
Who?
Who do you think throws the most shade at Drake May?
The former Patriots coach.
No, the current Patriots coach. I think Mike Vrabel, who's given out game balls like they're a BJ's special. By BJ's, I mean the free food, nothing
big
weird.
Box store.
Just throwing that
samples,
out there. Big box store.
Bourbon chicken in aisle three.
Our friends at BJ's. He doesn't give him game balls. Every time I feel like a reporter kind of tries to lob up a question that's like, Vrabel, spike this home and tell us how good your young quarterback is. He's like, nah, there's things he can do better. What did he say at halftime? A little composure?
Yeah.
Or whatever? Like, he can, and I do believe it's calculated. And I actually think it's
100% calculated.
I think it's a sign that Mike Vrabel knows he's got him. That's also why Mike Vrabel has the job, because I don't know that he would have taken the job if he didn't like Drake May and think Drake May could be really good.
Didn't everybody say that when they accepted the gig, that was part of the reason why?
Correct. But it's Parcellian. Like, he fluffs up Andy Borogalis because he knows, oh, Jesus, I got a young kicker who's on the brink of, does this go sideways or do I pull out of this?
Yeah, Borogalis is teetering on full-blown yips.
Ramondre Stevenson fluffs him up. Game balls, pats on the back, the whole thing. Drake May, the guy who is the talk of the quarterback world, the NFL world, suddenly your boy Savage is like, you can't find 10 quarterbacks you'd rather have over Drake May. So me, being the contrarian I am, said, oh, yes, I can. And then I got to like 7, and I was like, some bitch, I can't find 10 quarterbacks.
That's where we were yesterday. You asked me if I could, was he a top 10 quarterback? And while just sort of like running through the starting 32 of now and even factoring in a couple of the ones that are injured temporarily or out for the season, you can't say that he's not playing at a top 10 level. You can't. And if you say it, you're making it up. There have also been people like, you were hype on him. Shime was the biggest Drake May fan in the world. Guest of the Six Rings pod, Daniel Rotman, the guy that runs Scout DNFL. He was always hype on him. And instead of rubbing it in people's faces now, it's nice to see people going, welcome to the world of Drake May. You are now just living in it.
It's also nice to be right. I'll admit that. Like, we wanted to. Ted and I have talked about this. We were Drake May advocates coming into the draft and into his rookie season. So you want to be proven right. You don't want to have egg on your face and look like an idiot.
Aren't we glad he didn't start those 5 games last year?
Are we?
No.
You sure about that?
No, we're not.
I think we would have been fine if he had started those 5 games.
We wish he did, because it would have made last year even a little more watchable.
Now you could go down a whole rabbit hole of, is Mayo still the coach? Do you not have Will Campbell? What happened to the draft pick? Is Alex Van Pelt the coordinator? Like, could things have been better, not bad enough? I don't know, because they did beat the Bengals. You got a win out of that first month there. But there is a rabbit hole conspiracy, you know, butterfly effect. Like, is it a lot different than it is right now and maybe not good?
So maybe it happened for a reason. Just like,
that's what they tell me.
Just like Chad Ryland making that kick in Denver back over Christmas 2023 happened for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason. Mm. Yes, Dan Ball.
Good afternoon, guys, by the
way. Hey, how are
you? Oh, hi.
Good. Is now really the time to be questioning the way that the development of Drake May was handled? I don't have a single issue with how it was handled, given what we're seeing right now. The first 5 games.
Oh,
of the
I was
season,
just thinking
like
of
that.
I was just thinking of the entertainment value for
okay.
the previous season, because it was. I mean, you were here for the majority of it. It was a struggle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I jumped in with both feet right in the middle of an awful season. Yeah, I don't mind, given what we're seeing right now, and given how bad last year's team was. I don't mind the way they chose to go about it in hindsight.
Well, I'll give you the flip side of that. I was a big believer in the offseason, as an advocate for Drake May, that he was taking the weighted donut off his bat going from last year to this year. That giving him Josh McDaniels and the stability of this coaching staff, giving him potentially a better offensive line, that the most difficult struggles of Drake May's career were going to be his rookie season. I believed that, and I think he's benefiting from it. I do believe, like, the fastball's coming in, the bat feels a little bit lighter, and he's like, wait, Did they just block the guy who's coming off the left side there? Wow, never had that left.
No longer on the Stairmaster with a weighted vest.
Wait, did Stephon Diggs do what I wanted him to do when I rolled out and then catch the ball that I threw to him? Like, all of those aspects of this offense that are better around him, coaching, offensive line, targets, make his job easier, and I think it's allowing him to have this evolution. I don't know how much last year developmentally we can praise the coaching staff or what went into it. I think
the person who is kind of like lost in the wash of last season's debacle, as because it looked like Gerard Mayo had no idea what he was doing, but the guy who probably did a lot and will be hopefully one day less of a forgotten hero, Van Pelt. I heard nothing but good things about his interactions with Drake May.
Yes, he was a quarterback's coach.
Yes.
That's the problem. He was the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
He was doing
one job really well while over his head doing another.
Correct. And I do believe that is the I think I've picked that up from Alex Cora. I think we talked to him so many times that he's a big advocate of that phrase, I do believe. And I've picked up the I do believe. But I do believe that Alex Van Pelt, the footwork, the technique, mm-hmm. the sort of fundamentals.
Learning
that,
how to drop back because he played in the pistol basically his entire time.
All of
time
that
in
was
college.
Good. Now, giving him audibles, play calls, giving him the best chance to succeed when the ball was actually snapped.
That's Josh Ball.
Not great. That's where Josh is better. And I think Josh probably appreciates the work that Alex Van Pelt did as essentially a quarterback's coach a year ago, but I think they started over in terms of scheme and offense and all of those things.
I heard on our midday program, Jones and
Keith. It's a
good
show.
Yeah, very good show. Good, nice pace. I like the funny those funny little sounders they have in the grab bag program.
I wish they would re-record them. There's a very annoying voice on.
Yeah.
Something.
Oh yeah. Is there? Yeah. I heard that guy actually came up with the segment. Anyway, so I heard Tom Curran's noontime appointment today. We'll talk to him on Thursday, I believe.
Indeed.
They asked him who's more responsible for bringing out this savage element of Drake May and giving him the comfort that he has on the field now. Was it Diggs or McDaniels? And Tom E didn't even hesitate. Josh.
Yeah. Josh McDaniels, we talked a lot about this in the offseason, and when we're right, we have to pat ourselves on the back, because if you followed the pick six parlay often enough, we're wrong a lot, and we have to revisit that every Monday.
1-5 is great.
Yeah, there's a win in there. At least there was one. Kevin Millar, don't let them win just one. That didn't hold true
for us. But if they do, that doesn't.
What if we do just win one? But no, we talked about Josh McDaniels and the credit we thought as advocates for him he deserved, even though there were still the, you should have never gotten Vrabel, you should have got Ben Johnson, he's the offensive mind, he's the guru, Scheim and others. There were a lot of people, I think maybe both midday show guys, you just referenced them.
Well, because I know Rich loves it. Wide receivers, bat flips, explosive, dynamic, unpredictable stuff. Jones just wanted something. Jones just wants new. He just wants fresh. He wants not the same old stale product. The thing is, McDaniels doesn't feel the way he's able to reinvent the offense doesn't feel, especially with the most athletic quarterback he's coached to date, it doesn't feel stale.
So we can throw it out there all we want, but we don't necessarily put our name to it. Jeff Howe did. Jeff Howe, the Athletic, former Boston Herald guy, former local guy, I mean, still a local guy, former local reporter.
Very nice man.
Who works for the Athletic. He does a quarterback ranking on the Athletic. And you know where he has Drake May?
Let me guess. This is a blind guess. 11th.
No, 10th. He is a top 10 quarterback officially. And I'll give you the list just to see if you feel like this is accurate. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Jordan Love. That's your top five. Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford. That's 6 through 9. The number 10 spot, Drake May. And just for comparison, just after him would be Sam Darnold, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence.
Where's Jaden Daniels in there?
I already said him. He was 7th.
He was 7th? Okay, no, he blew right by him. Okay. That's pretty fair, actually.
I do think it's fair. And it's going to fluctuate. And what helps him get in there? Did you notice there's a name missing that would bump him to 11th? He wouldn't be a top 10 quarterback if this guy were playing.
Ed Joseph Burrow.
Joe Burrow. Yeah. And Lamar Jackson, actually, isn't
who
on
could
the
be
list.
Out for. If you're Lamar Jackson,
so
by the way,
12th.
With
this
a bad
list is devalued.
Okay, but still upper third, I'll call it. Top third-ish. With the way Lamar Jackson's season is going and how bad the Ravens are right now, losing 44-10 with Cooper Rush at the helm, injury maybe lingers a little longer for me.
Yeah, they have a lot of issues there, and the Patriots are the opposite. It feels like the Patriots are coming together, right? It's only a short span.
And I love it when a plan comes together.
But does it not feel, am I being overly homerific? Get the horn ready if you want, Stiz. I know you love to play it. But the Patriots coaching, does it feel better right now than it did, say, 3+ weeks ago?
Oh, it's where I thought it should be, but it's definitely better than a month ago.
Patriots special teams feel like it's better now than it was a month ago.
Yes, because the kicker's making kicks.
Boom. Patriots defense better now than it was a month ago.
Continuing their trend of being a dominant force on the field.
Patriots offense better now than you felt about it a month ago.
Boy, howdy.
So is there anything within this organization that doesn't feel like it's trending in a positive direction?
At this particular moment, no.
Now, that doesn't mean, and we're going to get to Tom Curran, who was on with the Jones and Keefe boys and has a pretty crazy schedule or record prediction for the Patriots at the bye.
I didn't hear it yet, but is it like, hold on a second. Tom, what you sniffing?
It's homerific.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
But there's a reason for it. Like, it's starting to, like, not only are they coming together at the right time, everything is falling into place around them. Concurrently.
Well, if you look across the AFC, the teams that you thought weren't going to be very good aren't very good. But a lot of the teams you thought were going to be good also aren't very good. There's more of a middle class or a lower middle class in the AFC.
I just like that game last night, though.
I thought it was perfect. I thought it was perfect that both teams made a... I just almost swore. I was just going to say the S word for some reason. Just a little too comfortable here early in the show. There was a crap ton of mistakes in that game by both teams right up until the winning touchdown where the guy falls on his face three times before he runs into the end
zone. And still finds a way. We were talking before the show, and Brian Frazoco, our Twitch operator and one of the associate producers on the show, put it best. He said, when he plays terribly, you see Mitch Trubisky and Trevor Lawrence. And I was like, yeah, but when he plays well, you see John Elway. Like, he is a maddening
talent.
He
is maddening, and he's never going to be great. I watched enough of that game after I finished my cable box debacle last night to know that he's never going to be great. He's too far into his career.
I'm a fan. I love watching him play.
I'm gonna just say it. He sucks.
He does not suck.
When you have a guy wide open for a 7-yard gain and a first down, and you have a guy covered in the end zone, and you throw to the guy covered in the end zone.
That's not a good choice.
And don't throw to Travis Etienne, who is it, Troy Aikman?
Yes.
Yeah, Troy.
Yes.
Troy Aikman goes, not only is he getting the first down, but it's Travis Etienne. He can make one guy miss, and it's a touchdown. When you choose not to make that throw, you're never... What year is he? Is this year one?
Wait, hold on. This is year five.
Oh, year five. So is he going to make the year six jump?
Hasn't your boy... Well, he's made the year... Did you see the one he dropped in the bucket to Brian Thomas on the final drive?
What did I tell you yesterday?
Spectacular pass.
Quarterback in the NFL is about consistency. You need to take the easy ones that are available because they're not always going to be
always
available.
I'm always a fan. Listen, no one likes taking a profit more than this guy.
I thought Trevor Lawrence's game was on full display last night.
All my bets.
The ups, the downs, and the why he'll never be a great quarterback.
But he's talented enough that he's going to stay employed for a long time.
And madden people. He will be maddeningly good and maddeningly bad at various points throughout the rest of his career.
Even the fumble. Liam Cohen.
Which is weird because he never lost in high school and college, basically.
Liam Cohen, though, is probably the right guy to try to find a way, if you can course correct him, into consistent excellence.
Maybe, but he's got a lot of work to do.
It's a hell of a challenge.
Don't stick the ball out on the goal line
and throw
it to him.
But the quality of the game and what you saw from teams in the AFC, like Kansas City, they can be dominant at times. They look beatable. Jacksonville, surprise people, they outlasted Kansas City, made enough mistakes. They'll give you a tough game. They're also beatable.
207 says, come on, Andy. A couple of those throws he made on his last drive were incredible. I agree. He's capable of the incredible. He's also capable of the incredibly stupid.
Followed by another text from a different 207 number. Trevor Lawrence does suck.
And that's the reality. There's times when he's great. There's times that he sucks.
He needs to get the times he sucks out.
If you're a top 5 to 10 quarterback,
you can't suck.
You can be not good. You can kind of be like having off day.
You can miss a mark.
You punt here. And that's what Drake May is eliminating. What did we talk about? It wasn't that he was great making plays as much as it was he didn't make the great mistakes. Yes, Stiz.
But vis-a-vis Drake May and
the
Patriots.
What the hell does vis-a-vis mean? You shouldn't be saying that.
I don't care for that. Are some fans going a little too far? For instance, here was a headline from an article on Channel 7, our friends at Channel 7 yesterday. Quote, he's better than Tom Brady, I think. Patriots fans talk Drake May following the win over undefeated
Bills. Wait, hold
on.
Did somebody send a reporter to like the greatest bar or something or banners and somebody was all hopped up on sipping sauce and they said he's better than Tom Brady?
There is no one in the world that believes that. No one. I don't even think you could get Drake May on Truth Serum to say, I'm better than Tom Brady.
Yeah, I also
or Mr. and Mrs. May. Or the May brothers.
It's an article from a TV station. I have a hard time.
Are you seriously asking me that question, though? You didn't even believe that.
I do think that people, it's like with most things, we jump out the window one way or the other. So
here we go. Let's just see. All right, Andy at 603 wants to know. They're going to hold us accountable. So can I expect you to say the same thing next week if Drake May throws two picks and loses a fumble?
Same thing as what? Do I believe he is a Patriot Hall of Famer? Yeah, I believe he's a Patriot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Wait, Drake May, who will be making his 18th start. What year did you say Trevor Lawrence is in?
4, 5, 6, 7.
Drake May, who's in the second year of his rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence is in the first year of his $260 million. Like, that's the difference. If Drake May,
Florida, he's going to get all of it.
If Drake May is having Steelers type games where you're making decisions for turnovers in 5 years, that's going to be a problem. I don't think he will be. The growth I've seen from Drake May over the first month of the season, and if you extrapolate off of that moving forward, is tremendous. It's what you want to see combined with the physical, the ability to roll out, throw on the run.
It's year five for Trevor Lawrence, by the way.
So year five.
Yes.
And year two.
He's got 3 years ahead of Drake May.
We'll see. I'm quite comfortable saying Drake May will consistently be a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence when he's in year five. Consistently a better quarterback.
Bookmark that, guys, for 3 years from now.
Good chance we're still doing this show.
What's that?
Heart and Sun Landscaping, baby. 617-779-7937.
I work for you again.
Are we getting too far ahead of ourselves with Drake May? Are the national media types, the Rich Eisens and the Colin Cowherds, getting too far ahead of themselves? And then we need to get into the Patriots. They're also a popular team. They're a team that many are looking at this schedule, this upcoming stretch, and the totality of an easy schedule, and they're using the B word. The playoffs are now a conversation in early October in New England. 617-779-7937. The hype train to and fro Foxborough is in full speed ahead mode. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday afternoon. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and it's Tuesday at 2:30. We all know what that means. We go to the phone lines for our buddy Mark Schlereth. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Our insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, you have a lot to live up to because the energy you brought last week coming off that Patriots game was phenomenal. So I need that again, and I need you, as a guy that has now seen Drake May and the Patriots in person 2 weeks ago, and I'm guessing saw what they did on Sunday Night Football, it feels like all the world is on the hype train for Drake May. Is the hype train getting too far ahead of itself, or is this legit? Greg Olsen said he looks like a guy who could end up as the best quarterback in football. Do you see that?
Okay, one, you'll get what you get, and you'll like it.
Okay,
boy. That's the number one rule here, right? I'm the guest, and I'll bring whatever the hell I want to bring to your radio program. And then two, I'm gonna bypass that question for a second, right? But I'm going to say, I was calling a game when Brady played for Tampa, and I saw him in the guts of the the guts of the stadium pregame because I just walked away from a camera meeting, right? And he's coming down the hallway, and I'm coming down the opposite way, and we meet each other about midway, and we say hey, and I give him a hug, and he goes cheek to cheek with me, And I was like, as soon as you went cheek to cheek with me, I was like, I've just found the cure for ED, because it was awesome. Like, this guy is amazing. And I thought the same thing as I watched Mike Vrabel dap everybody up and hug everybody up in that tunnel at whatever that stadium, I call it Rich Stadium, but whatever the hell that stadium is. So watching him dap the dudes up. Listen, I told you this about Mike Vrabel, and sometimes he can be a salty biatch, you know that. But the bottom line with this guy is he is absolutely a great coach. And you're going to win the line of scrimmage when Mike Vrabel is your coach, because he demands it, because he understands how important it is. And that's exactly what they've done. Now to Drake May, he looks incredible. He looks incredible. And he's got a coach that understands how to develop a young quarterback. He can say whatever you want. Whatever you want. And it's probably all, like, we call Josh McDaniels here in Denver Hurricane Josh because he came through and blew this thing up. But the bottom line is, I love the guy. I think he's a phenomenal, and I mean phenomenal, offensive coordinator. And he just, then no matter who he touches at the quarterback position, that guy plays exceptionally well. And I tell you what, I told you guys, I thought if they just clean up their own mistakes, they're a playoff team. And I think they showed it the other night.
So, Stink, there's something that's sort of been on my mind ever since the game. We talked about it briefly yesterday, but I'd love to get your POV on this. How much of Sunday night do you believe was at the doing of the Patriots, and how much of that was because of how Buffalo played? As in, like, did the Patriots go and take that from them and roundly beat the Bills, or did the Pats play well enough when the Bills, to be quite honest at times, played poorly?
Yeah, well, I mean, I look at it like the Pats went in there with their game plan, executed it. And hey, remember, man, they put the ball on the ground early. Stevenson put the ball on the ground again.
Yep.
And still to be able to overcome that and create, you know, your opportunities for your own team. And all those things come to, like, it's the nuanced little things. It's the things that guys do exceptionally well. It's an amazing route run by a guy like Stephon Diggs. It's control and line of scrimmage, you know, both offensively and defensively, even though you have short arms. Oh, my gosh. Well, how are we ever going to play with short arms, right? The stupidity that comes out of draft monologues is just amazing to me. But to me, it's you went in to a hostile environment with a team that was running hot and on a heater, so to speak, and you went in there and handled your business. And, like, you can't take that away from the New England Patriots. I can't downplay, well, Buffalo didn't play well. Well, you didn't play well because the other guys on the other side made you not play well.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. So 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, when we talked to you after the Panthers game, around here we were getting a lot of, yeah, but it's just the Panthers. Now you go out there and beat the last undefeated team in football, but we all know, winning a couple games is one thing in the NFL. The next step is consistency. And suddenly people are looking at the upcoming schedule, and it's the Saints, and it's the Falcons, and it's the Browns, and people are penciling in wins. Is that the hardest evolution for a football team, to start to win all the expected games and not to have a let up there when you're young?
Yeah, the let up, that stuff is real. You know, I mean, the bottom line is, we like to act like guys aren't human, but guys are human, you know, and so it is that, you know, the mantra and the cliche of one game at a time and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you got to put it together. I think the thing that you've got to really, you know, you've got to understand is, this is the, you know, National Football League. Everybody on here is professional football player. And, you know, even though some teams are a little less talented, like the Carolina Panthers, I'll just tell you flat out, they're not as talented as some teams, but they still play professional football. And guys still have pride. They're still alpha males, right? And if you back them into a corner, they're going to come out swinging. And we've seen the Giants, you know, beat the Chargers. We've seen New Orleans get a win. Like, we've seen this go down. So they're all professional, and this is not college football. You know, I'm talking to Chip Kelly a couple of weeks ago, and Chip Kelly says this to me. He goes, listen, at Ohio State, he goes, on signing day, we were 9-0. We're that much more talented than everybody else. And he goes, the difference between the NFL and college football is NFL is situational. He goes, do you think we had – our play sheet was about four plays long on third down, because we were never in third down. We get first down, and then it's second down and two. Like, we don't hit third downs. And if we do, it's third and one. He goes, so this league is completely different that way. There are no blind sisters of the poor. So –
You never apologize for beating somebody up. And ultimately, when you play a team like the Saints, you play those teams that, you know, are struggling a little bit, maybe don't have their quarterback thing figured out. You have to go in there and step on the throats of those guys. And this is one thing I know about Mike Vrabel. He'll have his guys, regardless of who they play, ready to play. I believe that.
So we give a lot of love to Drake, obviously, for ascending into the top of the NFL quarterback play. Obviously, Stephon Diggs has been massive for him. Love for Josh, love for Vrabel. But are we giving enough credit to the fact that, let's go back to what you said at the start of this interview, Stink. The offensive line for the Patriots is really starting to come out on top more often than not and playing like one of the better units in the NFL. Like, there's cohesion, there's real team play on the offensive line, and they're winning more often than they're losing.
Yeah, they're being coached well. Obviously, you got two, you know, rookies starting on the left side. It's just such an important aspect. I honestly don't care who your quarterback is. You know, we make such a big deal out of, you know, wide receivers. And, you know, I always say it. I said on the Sing of Truth podcast the other day, I was like, they're like children. You realize, one, they're dependents, right? 10 other guys have to do their job for them to have success. And two, they whine and they piss and they moan unless they get fed. Like, you know, so, like, that's the position in general. But I don't care who your receivers are. Ask Cincinnati with their, you know, superstar wide receivers, how's the season going right now? I don't care any of that stuff. If you can't block guys and you can't keep your quarterback upright and you take a ton of sacks, you do not win in the National Football League. The other side of that equation is also true. If you can't dominate a line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the ball they can. I think Milton Williams is phenomenal. The number 90 boy, the Barmore, is incredible. Like, they got great players, and they dominate edges, and they dominate the middle of the line of scrimmage.
Mark, one of the reasons people think the Patriots can now make the playoffs is they're playing well. But the other reason is some of the teams that were supposed to be good in the conference look like they might not be. The Ravens, losing record. Bengals, losing record. Texans, losing record. Chiefs, losing record. Of those teams, which one do you think is in the most trouble? Which one of those teams is not going to be able to dig out of this hole?
Well, the Bengals have no chance, so we just throw them away. They don't know what they're doing over there. They just, you know, from the top to the bottom, it's just a poorly run organization, so we kick them to the curb.
Even with Flacco now?
Yeah. What I used to say when I was playing, there's a couple of certainties in life, like death, taxes, and you'll beat the Cincinnati Bengals when you play against them. So those were certainties back in the day when I played. But I think the Ravens are in real trouble. I mean, the injury issues that they have. And let's just say that, 2 weeks from now or whatever, let's just say their quarterback comes back, Lamar Jackson comes back, but let's say that he's not, you know, the 4-4 guy that he always is, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, man, we're going to be hesitant to run him on the quarterback, you know, the zone read stuff or some of the RPO stuff, and we want to keep him off the edges. Like, that dramatically diminishes what you're good at. And so then what do you become as an offense? Like, I think they're in legitimate trouble. So, I think the Chiefs are still a pretty damn good team. I think Jacksonville's probably one of those teams. I picked Jacksonville to win that division before the season started. And then I did game one of the season and watched them practice and watch what they got going on over there with Liam Cohen. And I thought, man, that's going to be a really good team. And, great come from behind win yesterday, but I still think at the end of the day, the Chiefs are going to rectify some things. They're going to figure some things out. They'll get Rashee Rice back. I think they'll be fine, and they'll be a playoff competitor in the AFC West. I think they'll still fight for that division crown.
And before we wrap it up here, which team is surprising you the most overall in the NFL, and who do you think is the best team right now between all 32?
Oh, the best team. That's like, you know, Philly hasn't played well, and they've got drama. Obviously, they had a seven. Like, how do you have a 17-3 lead, and you give your running back, who's one of the most phenomenal athletes and one of the best players on the planet, one carry in the second half? How, that's coaching malfeasance. Like, what are you doing? I still think they're really good, though. I think Philly is really good. They've got to figure it out. And it almost felt like, you know what, we're going to try to appease our whiny little wide receiver who cries and he's more concerned about his numbers than he is about wins. So we're going to go ahead and give him the ball or try to feed him the ball, and you end up losing that game to the Broncos, which, you know, you were kind of in control for three quarters. So I still think Philly's probably the best team, but, man, it's close between everybody.
Mark, I got to let you know that we have this show streaming on Twitch, and there's a little chat there on the screen, and they really enjoyed you calling Mike Vrabel a salty biatch early in the show. And will there be more salty biatch talk on the Stinkin' Truth podcast this week?
Yeah, there's always a ton of that. Listen, Braves and I played against each other, you know, so he can be. I love him, and I think he's a great coach. But you know, he's got some of that type A personality that I talked about, as do I. So you know, I think that stuff is great. And yeah, there's all kinds of talk. We're cruising, so make sure you check it out on YouTube, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
Will do, Mark. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
See you.
Thank you, Stink.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, the host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And as he said, remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on Spotify or Apple, or check it out on YouTube.
I don't disagree that the talent assessment of the Philadelphia Eagles might be peerless in the NFL, but it's hard to argue that the Detroit Lions are not playing the best football in the
they
NFL
are.
Right now.
And the issue they have, remember that word we use for the Red Sox? Vibes. The Lions have vibes. The Eagles have whatever the opposite of vibes is.
Anti-vibes. Stiz, what's the phrase for a term for anti-vibes? Not vibes.
You must have one.
You got
Wilden.
One. No, not Wilden.
What was that thing that you asked about? I don't know if it was last week. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. This is bad radio. But there was a word that you were like, what does that mean? And it wasn't washed. Oh, God.
Riz.
I don't know. Nah,
anti-lit. Anti-riz. Anti-lit. Anti-fire. But anyway, the Lions now...
They have the vibes and the Eagles don't.
And the Lions safe. Now have a chance to really establish themselves only a third of the way into the season as the team to beat because they go to KC for a big game Sunday.
The Eagles could be a drip team. Is that work, Stiz?
Yeah, you're a drip.
People call me a drip.
Right.
Are the Eagles just as a totality? Because I can't use that word that he used. Malfeasance?
Or yeah, coaching malfeasance or malpractice.
How do you
either
spell
way.
That?
Malfeasance.
All right, we're up against it.
Speaking of spelling.
Sorry.
Spelling could be one of the many questions or categories on Wednesday at 5:30 when listeners, texters, Twitchers get what they've been asking for. The return of Quiz with Stiz. Tomorrow, 5:30, and that one person on the beach who told me their favorite part of this show is Quiz with Stiz. Everybody's going to be happy. 5:30 tomorrow, Quiz with Stiz.
Always return. Do as much of the show as you can for one person.
Yeah, crowdsourcing it for that one person. It was a one-person crowd, right? We make that person happy. Starts with a one step there. Mark Schlereth, great stuff as always. He bitch-slapped me from the beginning, but he brings energy. Great phone hit, great interview. And Fitzy, I would get the T-shirts printed. Vrabel's face and just salty biatch beneath it. I think you could sell those. 617-779-7937. We got to get back to the Patriots, the hype, the Drake May hype. And we have a texter that wants to know, why is everybody talking about Drake May when Bo Nix is a real thing? We'll talk about that comparison next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
And I thought the same thing as I watched Mike Vrabel dap everybody up and hug everybody up in that tunnel at whatever that stadium, I call it Rich Stadium, but whatever the hell that stadium is. So watching him dap the dudes up. Listen, I told you this about Mike Vrabel, and sometimes he can be a salty biatch, you know that. But the bottom line with this guy is, he is absolutely a great coach, and you're going to win the line of scrimmage when Mike Vrabel is your coach because he demands it, because he understands how important it is, and that's exactly what they've done.
That was Odyssey insider Mark Schlereth here on WEEI Afternoons.
Wish he would just call in one of these Tuesdays and tell us how he really feels.
Maybe bring a little energy, too.
Yeah, some candor.
I mean, come on.
God.
Have an energy drink
all
or something.
All these cliches and football talk. Come on, guys.
I mean, he used
malfeasance.
Malfeasance and salty biatch. Like, he went to both ends of the spectrum.
The polar opposites.
He Chris Gaspered it, and then he was like, salty biatch. Like, he was slumming it and also called himself a self-proclaimed at times salty biatch.
Yeah, he knows. That's why he feels he can speak to, and it's great that we have him for this purpose. He played, like, Ted played with Vrabel. I'm not sure if you knew that.
He did.
Yep,
yeah,
they're
I
on
heard
the,
that.
With three Super
three
Bowls
Three rings.
Together. Three Super
three
Bowls.
Three rings.
And Schlereth played against him.
Yeah.
So he's kind of earned the right to call him a salty biatch.
But it's funny because he's a bit of a hardo. Mm-hmm. Actually, he's not a bit of a hardo. He's a lot of full-on stinking hardo.
Yeah.
But he also, you know, embraces Drake May and sort of this young, I wouldn't say pretty boy is not the word I'd use for Drake May, but young, electric,
poster
modern
boy.
Quarterback type thing. And that was an interesting conversation, but I do want to use one of our texters, 617-779-7937.
Go ahead.
If you want to join the conversation via text or phone line. The 508, Bo Nix made the playoffs last year and just went into the defending champ's house and win down 17-3. Why don't he getting the same? Why isn't he getting the same praise as May? I cleaned it up for you a little bit, 508.
Why don't he not be getting the same praise as May?
Because he's old and he's not as physically gifted, in my opinion. Is that fair?
Wait, does this literally say, why don't he getting the same praise as May?
Yeah, I just said that.
I need to read it.
You want to answer the question I asked you then?
Why isn't he getting the same praise as May? He should be. He's just not.
But he isn't. And why is that?
Because, want to know why? Because people believe Drake May is doing what
Racism.
He's doing. Well, they're the same. Okay.
Just checking.
Okay. Yeah, I'm paying attention. Because I believe people think that Bo Nix's success is because of a system. The Sean McVay.
Yes.
That it's not Sean McVay, Sean Payton. So now it's like, oh, Drake May is doing this. Look at this natural
Why
raw
athletic
ability.
Why doesn't Josh McDaniels
ability.
Have a system?
That's exactly what I was going to get to.
Well, you were taking forever, so I sped up the train. The system
Calm
that made
down.
Mac Jones good in 2021 is the system, theoretically, with some tweaks and some updates and some streamlinings, that we're now seeing Drake May utilize. It's a good system.
He's a product of Bo Nix, product of the Sean Payton system. To a lot of people at large, Drake May, product of his own brilliant athleticism.
And as Mark Schlereth said, and Mark Schlereth played for the Broncos, and I believe he still lives in the Denver area. I believe he told us that.
Splits his time between Alaska and Denver.
He calls Josh McDaniels the Hurricane because it blew up Denver in a hurry. But he also says Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator is really good. He deserves to be in one of those conversations that we put Shanahan or Payton or McVay in, where a quarterback goes there and the quarterback's going to be better because he plays in Josh McDaniels' system. So they're both system guys, and yet the hype train could just be the Patriots. I mean, the reality is the Patriots still have some luster. The Patriots still have some
a lot of it
dynasty.
A lot of it from years ago was knocked off. Like the,
but
the
it's still there. The Patriots drive interest.
Well, you just need, but you just need to get in there and just like buff all the rust and all the muck off.
If you're a national reporter and you include the Patriots, or if you're one of those websites that loves to do the odds, A.J. Brown's next team. If you put the Patriots in there, it gets talked about. It helps your hype.
DraftKings, FanDuel, ML Football, your aggregators, your wagering sites, etc. It was obviously taking on water and a lot of rust, but now we're finding out that they are a prominent national team again. Do you believe if they keep playing like this, they get flexed back into national television?
I bet we'll see another. Answer that question later here on WEEI Afternoons, because we're up against it. We're coming up at 3 o'clock, the three-point stance, where we're going to get Ted Johnson in the house. I think the Behind the Glass boys might contribute just a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something that I'm really, really, really looking forward to. And it's not maple whiskey eggnog season. It's something in the sports world. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.